We're going to continue in this series on faith. We've been looking at faith in quite a detailed fashion, digging deep and looking close at it, trying to understand better, more fully, what faith is and what it means and how important it is for my spiritual life and my relationship with God. These are really serious matters, serious study, and prayerfully it's something that can help us grow spiritually, each and every individual one of us. Now, we've talked about faith, we've talked about the faith being my personal belief, the faith being God's word, that upon which my faith is based, from which my faith comes. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God, in essence. And then we've talked about faithfulness, what it means for me to live my faith actively, dedicated, committed on a consistent, ongoing basis, for me to live by the teachings of the faith faithfully. That's faithfulness. Now, faith is key to our salvation, but it's key to our spiritual strength. Faith is key to our being strong spiritually. Our strength is in our faith. Someone asked the question, how can you have strong faith? We're going to talk about that in more specific detail in another lesson, but ultimately, they've got the idea, because our faith needs to be strong. We don't just need to believe something. We don't need to have some faith. We need to have strong faith. The apostles' request, all of the apostles are in the gathering, it seems, in this particular text, and they ask Jesus a question. They make a request of him, and that request indicates the importance of strong faith. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by its roots, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now look at that request. These are the men who follow Jesus most closely, who are with him continually during his public ministry. And they ask him, increase our faith. That ought to be a prayer for every one of us on an ongoing basis. We need to pay attention to our personal faith. We need to desire and then to try to do what we can to bring about strong faith within each one of us, within our personal lives. It is our faith in Christ that allows us to tap into the strength that is in him. What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 4? When he talks about, I know how to be down, I know how to be up. In verse 13, he kind of summarizes. He gives us the key to the whole matter. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But now, how can we do all things through Christ who has that strength if we don't believe in Christ, or if our faith in him is not that strong, or if we don't exhibit that strength of faith that we're supposed to exhibit in the way that we live our lives on a daily basis? Our faith is pivotal to our becoming a Christian, to our coming to salvation in Christ. Now, that's basic. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. When we talk about what we need to do to become a Christian, to come to salvation, when we say we've got to repent of our sins, we've got to confess Christ, we've got to be baptized in him for the remission of our sins. Now, faith is fundamental to all of that. If we don't believe to begin with, we're not going to do anything else that follows. Or whatever we do that follows is not going to have much meaning. Remember when Jesus sent the apostles into the world to preach the gospel to every creature, he said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Notice that the faith precedes the obedience and the coming into Christ. And he said, if he who does not believe will be condemned. He who does not believe is not going to be baptized. He who does not believe is not going to repent. He who does not believe is not going to confess faith in him. He who does not believe is not going to live a faithful life before him on an ongoing basis. The faith is the basis of that, and that faith needs to be strong. I can do all things through Christ, but I've got to believe in him before tapping into the strength that is found only in that relationship in him is going to have effect in my life. I've been saved through faith. I've got to believe before I'm going to do anything else. And that really is something of a no-brainer. Indeed, we come to Christ, we become a Christian based upon our faith in him. In Romans 5 and verse 1, Paul wrote, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are," notice this, "sanctified by faith in me." Now that term sanctified or sanctification, it has a technical meaning to be set apart, but in essence, when we're talking about being sanctified by faith, we're talking about salvation. And notice again that it is that faith is fundamental to our salvation. We become a Christian based upon our faith in him. That is sort of the bottom line, the bottom rung in the ladder, so to speak, the starting point, the jumping off place. A person who does not become a Christian, conversely, exhibits a lack of faith for whatever reason. Acts 4 and verse 2, Peter said before that crowd that gathered, his and John's defense, after preaching to that crowd that gathered following the healing of the lame man, that he and John are taken into custody, and Peter's making something of a defense there. He says, "Nor is there salvation in any other," speaking of Jesus, "for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Only through Christ can we come to salvation. Without faith, we're not going to do that. And so the person who does not become a Christian exhibits a lack of faith. What does the Hebrews writer say in Hebrews 11 and verse 6? "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." John 8 and verse 24, Jesus himself said, "I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So again, faith is fundamental. And the person who does not become a Christian exhibits a lack of faith, either no faith whatever, or else a weakness of faith such that it will not bring them to take that step to become a Christian. Key to our understanding. Faith gives us guidance to live our lives on a daily basis in faithfulness once we become a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Paul's writing to Christians. He says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." A Christian is faithful, he is dedicated, he actively serves his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of his faith. His faith motivates him to be that active, dedicated, committed, serving Christian. James chapter 2 and verse 18, the rhetorical proposition is put forth. Someone will say, "You have faith and I have works." James says, "Show me your faith without your works." Now, let's pause for emphasis there. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, the two to go together. The commitment, the dedication, the ongoing service, that's part of my faith. The one has to go with the other in order for both to be complete or both to be effective completely. Romans 14, beginning with verse 8. Speaking of Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, "So shall your descendants be." And not being weak in faith, He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That is, what God had promised to him, Abraham, God was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. God initially told Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Your descendants are going to be great. And he went on to say, numberless, like the stars of the sky, like the sands of the seashore, and so on. That was when Abraham was 75 years old. Before the fulfillment of the promise, years ticked off. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years. And so Paul is referring here from a physical reproductive perspective. It was past Abraham's time, and Sarah's womb was already dead or closed, or it was no longer productive. She was, by this point, 90 years old. And yet at this point, God renewed and then he fulfilled the promise. And Isaac was born. Faith was key. Abraham struggled along the way. Sarah struggled along the way. But he was not weak in faith. He did not consider the deadness of his own body. He did not waver at the promise of God. He did not, stumble at the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver through unbelief. He was strengthened in faith. And the promised son was born. And in that way, we see again the power of God. Not something they could have accomplished on their own, naturally, but only through God's intervention. An unfaithful, an undedicated, a spiritually inactive Christian is a Christian of weak faith. The idea of unfaithfulness and a lack of dedication and spiritual inactivity within a Christian is indicative. They're symptomatic of weak faith within that Christian. Strong faith will not allow unfaithfulness. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, I've got deep faith. I've got strong faith. Oh, yes, I've got such faith, so much faith. And they are about as weak as you can imagine spiritually. They're not faithful. They're not dedicated. You hardly see them ever at church services, if at all. It's sporadic, hit and miss here and there. And as far as living the life, they're just not doing it. And yet they'll spout off about how much faith they've got, about how rich faith their faith is, how deep their faith is, and so on. Their faith is weak. Strong faith will not allow unfaithfulness. Do not delude yourselves. Neither of us should. If you are living unfaithfully, then you are not a person of strong and great faith. Because strong and great faith will not allow you to be unfaithful. Strong and great faith will result in your dedication and commitment on a consistent, ongoing basis. It's just part of how it works. We should regularly examine ourselves, therefore, pertaining to our faith and our faithfulness. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, Paul wrote, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? We need to examine ourselves on an ongoing basis. We need to ask God in prayer to help us to see, to guide us, to strengthen us in our faith, to help us to be strong in our faith. Our faith provides the strength to stand faithful in Christ as we live our daily lives before him each day. Romans 11 and verse 20, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 24, not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. Faith helps us to stand faithful in Christ. In fact, it is basic and fundamental to that. The devil seeks your souls destruction. He seeks all of mankind's soul's destruction. Your faith or your lack of it will be key as to whether or not he succeeds. 1 Peter 5, beginning with verse 8, Peter wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, one who stands against you, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He's out for your destruction and my destruction. Peter goes on and says, resist him. How do we resist him effectively? Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Peter had personally experienced this very reality of the devil seeking his personal destruction. Remember, on the night of Jesus' betrayal, how Peter spouted off about he would die before he would ever deny the Lord. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Oh, that very night, Peter would stumble, wouldn't he? He would deny the Lord three times in spite of his insistence that he would never deny the Lord. And Jesus already said, "When you return to me, strengthen your brethren." I've prayed that your faith should not fail. He stumbled, but then he came to his senses and he came back to faithfulness. Strong faith is pivotal in fending off all that the devil will throw at you in trying to bring you down. Ephesians 4, or chapter 6, verse 16, as Paul is listing the implements of the Christian armor, he says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Our faith, we need to pay attention to it. It is that shield that protects us to such a great degree against all the wiles, all of the tactics that the devil uses to try to bring about our spiritual defeat and destruction. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, Paul writes, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Right there, again, central to our spiritual protection, our spiritual strength, our spiritual sustenance is our faith. We need to pay attention to it. Claiming eternal life is contingent upon standing strong in our faith. Look at how Paul put it in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. He says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Now think about what that word pursue means. You're going after it, in other words. You're seeking it. You're diligently striving for it. So he says, "O man of God," writing to Timothy, "pursue righteousness, godliness, love, patience, gentleness." And right in the middle of that list is faith. Pursue faith. Go after it. He goes on and says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." We cannot lay hold on eternal life without fighting that good fight of faith. That is prerequisite to our being able to lay hold on eternal life. We've got to fight that good fight of faith. We've got to stand strong in the faith. We've got to pay attention to developing strong faith within our lives. Note Paul's insight on the connection between strong faith and salvation as he is apparently facing imminent death himself. In his second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, beginning with verse 7, he says, "I have fought the good fight." Now, what did he write in the first letter? Chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Fight the good fight of faith. As he's facing death himself in 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 7, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. What did he say back in the first letter? Chapter 6, 11 and 12. Fight the good faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. The one being contingent on the other. And then when he is facing death, he says, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. He saw the fulfillment in his own life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. And so the same formula, the same promise, the same assurance is there for us today. If we'll fight that good fight of faith, if we'll keep on keeping on, then we can lay hold to eternal life, the crown of right, the crown of life. The ultimate end of strong, sound faith is the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1 and verse 9, receiving the end of your faith. Now we might say the fulfillment of your faith, the salvation of your souls, Peter writes. 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Revelation 2 and verse 10, what admonition does Jesus give? The exhortation, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Faith is fundamental. Strong faith is key. Since the condition of my faith is tied to my knowledge of God's word, Romans 10 and verse 17, that I need to be diligent to be strong in God's word in order to develop and maintain strong faith. I've got to read my Bible. I've got to study it. I've got to pay attention. I've got to put myself to the work, the task, the challenge of trying to understand and then implement what I learn correctly from God's word. That's an ongoing part of our lifestyle. Should be. Romans 10 and verse 17 again, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hearing and hearing by the word of God. In a nutshell, the sense of it, faith comes by hearing the word of God. I need to get into God's word. I need to stay in God's word. Having a good grasp of sound doctrine or correct teaching is key to recognizing and resisting and refuting any error that the devil might try to use to lead us into unfaithfulness. I need to know what the scriptures teach so I know what they don't teach. In Titus 1 and verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine or sound teaching both to exhort and convict those who contradict. I need to hold fast that faithful word. I need to know what it says in order to be able to hold fast to it. Titus 1 and verse 13, this testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Do you see the emphasis continually in Scripture on developing strong, solid faith? God's teachings communicated through his word are intended to guide you in the truth of his will. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. We need to know what the Bible teaches so we know how to live by the Bible, how to live by those teachings, how to hold firmly to them so that our faith can be what it should be. Not following the teachings of God correctly can lead to eternal condemnation. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Again, Paul facing apparently imminent death. And what are some of the last things that he tells Timothy in this second letter? I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead and is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, teachers will scratch their ears for them, tell them what they want to hear, make them feel good in whatever that lifestyle they're already living, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside into fables. So how does Paul instruct against the potential of people going off into unfaithfulness? He says, preach the faith, preach the word. Do it when it's popular, when it's not popular, when it's easy, when it's not easy, when it's readily accepted, when it's not readily accepted, even when it's rejected, preach the word in season and out of season, and thereby help people to stay strong in their faith. We need to believe, we need to follow, we need to teach God's word in its purity, in its correctness, and in its soundness, because the strength of our faith depends upon it. Titus 2 in verse 1, as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 1 in verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Over and over and over again. Our faith is key. It is fundamental. And our faith, being what it should be, is tied to God's word. And that needs to not be a haphazard faith. It needs to be a strong, effective faith. So the question for each of us today is, how is your faith right now? How is it? Is it what it should be? Is it what you want it to be? Make no mistake, when you consistently neglect your faith, then your faith will become weak. There's basically no way around it. When you consistently neglect your faith will become weak. Letting your faith become and remain weak can jeopardize, as we have seen from this scripture study, can jeopardize your soul's salvation. You cannot live unfaithfully and maintain strong, active, saving faith. Don't let the devil hoodwink you on this particular point. Don't let him convince you that you don't have to pay that much attention to your faith. Faithfulness is incidental. You can still have strong faith and just play around in unrighteousness. You can mess around with sin. You don't have to be that dedicated. You don't have to be that active. You don't have to be committed. Just have faith in Jesus. Have faith in God, and you're going to be fine. You cannot live unfaithfully and maintain strong, active, saving faith. Your strength or your lack of it is in your faith in Christ. If you find yourself a weak Christian, or you find yourself weak spiritually, never having become a Christian, look at your faith. Your faith has got to be weak. In order to be strong in Christ, you must pay attention to developing strong faith. Strong faith. You've got to put in the effort. You've got to pay attention. You've got to do the work to develop strong faith. And that includes faithfulness. Not just believing, but believing enough to live the life. Are you doing that? If not, ask God's forgiveness. Ask for His strength. Ask for His guidance. We'd love to pray with you and for you about whatever your needs might be. If you've not yet been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, then you see, you've got to take that fundamental step of faith. And we'd love to assist you with that. If you need to come, won't you come right now as we stand together and say,